Wednesday, Friday. I've been the one trying to organize these things for the last couple days. Welcome to day three of three and sessions five and six of sessions five and six. I suppose session five right now. With that in mind, I would like to encourage everybody to keep their participants tab open. There is the hand raise feature that is in there to help facilitate what we're doing in discussions. Additionally, please have your chats open. While Brother Sperry is presenting, he will not be able to have his eyes on the chat, and I will be acting as a facilitator between all of you and him. He'll be pausing on occasion to ask if there are any questions or discussion about anything. So with those things in mind, I have a little introduction that I'd like to read on behalf of Brother Sperry. So brothers, allow me to introduce Jeff Sperry. Brother Sperry was initiated into the New Sigma chapter at the College of William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, part of Province 18, in the fall of 1984. Since then, he has held numerous leadership positions in his chapter, several provinces, and nationally. Currently, Brother Sperry is Vice President of the Sinfonia Educational Foundation Board of Trustees and serves as co-faculty advisor for the Ada Mu chapter of Phi Mu Alpha Sinfonia at Lamar University in Beaumont, Texas. Brother Sperry previously served as governor of Province 5, 13, and 2, and as interim executive director of the fraternity. In addition, he has had two stints on the SEF Board of Trustees, including a term as president from 2004 to 2007, along with 9 years of service on the Commission on Standards from 1997 to 2006, chairing it for the last six of those years, during which time he wrote the original version of the protocol for hazing allegations that has evolved into Sinfonia's current risk management policies. Other roles include his membership on the National Alumni Affairs and Engagement Committee, the National Awards Committee, president of the New Sigma Chapter, and Collegiate Province Representative for Province 18. That's the first paragraph. There's more. In his professional life, Brother Sperry has spent 25 years in the field of development, fundraising, and advancement, predominantly in higher education. Presently, he is Associate Vice President for University Advancement at Lamar University, with earlier career stops including Florida Institute of Technology, Florida State University, Florida Atlantic University, Michigan State University, go green, and Stetson University. Musically, Brother Sperry is a longtime choral singer who currently leads the tenor section of Resound, the Tom Jaber Chorale in Houston, Texas. Brother Sperry brought the fraternity national attention in 2006 as a five-time champion on the television game show Jeopardy. He wore his pin during all of his shows and announced a pledge to the Sinfonia Educational Foundation during his final appearance. Brother Sperry and his longtime partner, Tanya, have a blended family of five children, ages 15 to 24. Three are hers, two are his. A native of Florida, Brother Sperry now resides in Beaumont, Texas. This amazing wealth of experience has led him to his presentation today, titled The Lifetime Journey, Keeping Alumni Interested, Involved, and Invested. Without further ado, please help me welcome Brother Jeff Sperry.
Very well. Thank you so much, Dave. That's all the time we have for tonight. So I'm actually delighted to see so many brothers here, so many friends. A lot of you I know very well and have known over the years, and a lot of new faces as well. So just thank you all for joining me. My remarks tonight have been, I prepared them directed more towards a collegiate audience. So bear that in mind as we go through. I guess I wasn't really thinking about who all would participate, you know, what the breakdown would be of the participants. And so if it does tend to skew a little bit more for collegiates, please bear that in mind, and I'll try to work in some alumni perspective pieces of this as we go. But I'll pause periodically for questions. In the meantime, I'll be sharing my screen with you at this point, and we'll begin the presentation. So I've broken this down into a pretty simple kind of, structure. You know, why should we do this? How should we do this? What do we do? And then, you know, just a few don'ts, because I think a lot of times when we talk about alumni engagement, there are some pitfalls that you have to be careful of that I had seen both from my chapter experience and then as well from my experience on the Commission on Standards. That's kind of the direction that this presentation will be taking. So we'll start with the why. You know, one of the concerns that I've always had about Finding Alpha Symphonia, and I've been very, very frank about this, I think, is that by and large, in the fraternal world, we do not do a very good job of engaging with alumni, at least on a broad scale. Obviously, there are a lot of chapters and local areas, and of course, you folks in the alumni associations have done very well with that, but we don't have a broad-based sort of thing. So we really have to rely a lot on the chapters and maybe to a certain extent the provinces to make these things happen. But why do we do it? What's the point of having alumni involved in the first place? Well, you know, I titled the thing Symphonia is a Lifetime Journey. Old timers among us will recall that there was actually a convention back in the 90s, I believe it was 97, if I'm not mistaken, that was titled, that the theme of the conference, the convention was A Lifetime Journey. Alumni are an incredibly valuable resource for a chapter, or the chapter should perceive them as such. There's so many things that you can do with alumni and for alumni. And from the alumni perspective, for those of us who are a little more superannuated, we have to realize that we spend far more of our lives, Lord willing, right, as alumni members than as collegiate members. So those of us in the room, so to speak, are the ones who are more engaged with the fraternity. What I hope we can do, or what we can come up with, are ideas, not necessarily tonight, but in a longer term sort of thing, ideas on how to reach those alumni who aren't engaged with us regularly, who aren't on the Facebook pages, who aren't involved with a chapter or doing things on a regular basis. I think that's our area for growth. That's our key area that we need to be focused on. So, alumni can support the chapter in a lot of meaningful ways. Everything from ritual, cast, and chorus, they can contribute their time. They certainly can contribute their money, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that somewhat later. And advocacy. And I think that advocacy piece is important because chapters need to feel supported. You know, my own experience within, as a faculty advisor now, and ironically, with all the things I've done in the fraternity, this time is the first opportunity I've ever had to be a faculty advisor. So I'm seeing a whole new perspective on things. And the alumni have been instrumental, certain alumni have been instrumental in providing kind of a support base within the department and within the university. It doesn't hurt that the immediate past president of the university, at where I am now at Lamar University, go Big Red. The immediate past president is a signature Symphonian, Jimmy Simmons, and he was a trumpet player. He still plays a lot of jazz, and the music building at Lamar is named for him. But advocating on behalf of Symphonia at an institution and in a community, I think, is perhaps maybe the most valuable thing alumni can do for the fraternity. Another thing is networking and connections, and this goes both to the collegiate side and to the alumni side. Look, you know, I'm involved in a lot of professional organizations of one kind or another. And the main reason I do it is networking. I want to establish those professional relationships. I want to establish those relationships that are going to help me personally. I mean, let's not lie, that's a legitimate reason to do it. But also, because of my role at Lamar University, I'm out there trying to get Lamar University to have a positive reputation and be viewed positively within the community. So those networking things are important for me as an alumnus. For you collegiate members, it's invaluable to be able to connect with alumni. A lot of you are in music, a lot of you are in music education, a lot of you are looking for careers where alumni can be instrumental in helping you find that first job, find that next job, making those connections. I know a lot of that happens at things like your MEA conferences and all that, for those of you who are music educators, but take advantage of the opportunity to build relationships with alumni that can be mutually beneficial. Service, I wrote this as service to and by alumni deliberately, because I think collegiate chapters can do more to serve alumni in a meaningful way, to give them opportunities like we're talking about, like networking, like entertainment, like music, you know, like fellowship and fraternity. I mean, what we are all about as Sinfonia, the collegiate chapters can be doing those things, but alumni can serve as well. I hope that a lot of you have alumni participating, for example, in your Mills Music Missions or in any other service activities that you're doing in your community, on your campuses, things like that. So allow alumni to be involved in a meaningful way through service because of the importance of what we do there. And then, of course, we talk a lot about loyalty to the alma mater. I think that loyalty to the alma mater doesn't just mean loyalty to the institution. It means loyalty to the people who make up that institution, the alumni, the people who have come before you. So, you know, I think that that is a key component that we need to keep in mind, is when we say loyalty to the alma mater, even when we say it in some of our most, you know, secret times, we're doing that as a way to acknowledge those who have come before us, those who have paved the way for us, and those who are responsible for our chapters being where they are now. I'm going to finish up this one topic and then I'll stop for questions on this or conversation on this. This is a really important piece for me, because after I graduated from William & Mary, I left Williamsburg and I never lived there again. And so anything that would, that New Sigma chapter at William & Mary might be doing wouldn't involve me. In fact, over time, I've moved farther and farther away from Williamsburg, so it becomes impossible for me to be involved. I wish all of you would remember the alumni who are in your area who may not be from your chapter. A little historical perspective. When I chaired the Alumni Affairs, what was then known as the Alumni Affairs Committee in 1995, and we began talking about what became alumni associations, there was a distinct dichotomy between two types of approaches. One was the alumni association, more or less like we have it today, and the other was something called an alumni chapter. So there would be a New Sigma alumni chapter, there would be an ADAMU alumni chapter, there would be whatever, and those would be the alumni from that chapter. And I very vehemently argued against that. And, you know, for better or for worse, that's how we've done it, because alumni associations are regionally based, so that people, for example, I know Brother McNerney, who's been involved in Dallas-Fort Worth Alumni Association for many, many years. They will draw people from all different chapters, you know, in that metropolitan area. And they might not even be chapters located in that metropolitan area. They're coming from everywhere around the country. And I think it's important to engage with them and help them not feel excluded. I didn't want, back in 95 when we were talking about these things, I didn't want alumni chapters to start being an extension of the chapter. I didn't want them to be something where only those chapter traditions had value. You know, as Sinfonia, we need to be inclusive and welcoming, and I think generally we are, but you always have to remind chapters, I think, to be mindful of those alumni who are not in your area. Reach out beyond music faculty and beyond the institution to the community. We'll talk in a few minutes about how we do this, but keep in mind that there are Sinfonians out there, you know, who are recovering lawyers who are music or college administrators, or who are math professors, or who are doing a variety of different things out there in the community and are not necessarily at your institution. We have one alumnus in our city who runs a music store downtown, and I've gotten to know him over time, and we've invited him to a few things. You know, it's, I know that's still music related, but the point being that he's not on campus all the time, or he's not really doing things like that. But I had a boss many years ago who was the dean of the College of Science at Florida Atlantic University. And when I went in to interview, he was a theoretical physicist by, that was his job. I mean, he was a dean, but, you know, by training, he was a theoretical physicist, and he had a shingle on his wall in his office. So there are symphonians literally in all walks of life, and we need to be open to talking to them. And keep in mind these networking things and connections. For you collegiate folks, alumni are hungry for this kind of thing. I mean, I'm probably basing this a lot in my own experience, but alumni truly want to have these sorts of connections. And ultimately, I mean, yeah, there may be a little bit of self-serving nature to it, but they want to have connections that are going to help them advance. And in turn, a lot of these folks, you know, I'm always looking to mentor people in my field and things like that. And because I had great mentors, and so I want to be a great mentor for others. The same thing holds true in Sinfonia. So seek out these opportunities, provide these opportunities for them. And we'll talk in a couple minutes here about how we do that sort of thing. But I want to stop right there and give an opportunity. I know some questions and comments have been coming through. So Brother Friday, what do we have?
Yeah, Brother Sperry, from Brian Woodell, finding alumni in your area not from your chapter is next to impossible as things currently exist, followed by a follow-up question from Chris Reed, which is on the same lines. What's your suggestion during these strange times for getting contact info for local alumni not from your chapter?
Part of that is on my next slide. But good timing. As far as local alumni not from your chapter, and I acknowledge what you're saying by in these strange times. I do say in the next slide, you know, Lyrecrest support, and I acknowledge that getting support from Lyrecrest is not always the easiest thing right now. But those of you who are involved in, if you're involved, for example, I'm in a chorus in Houston. And just by conversation, I discovered that our director is a Sinfonian. Now, I'm not in Houston. I live 90 miles away. But, you know, I've encouraged him to get connected to chapters in that area, like U of H and all that, and Texas Southern, to try to just even go to a ritual or something like that. So the converse of that is those of you who have connections in anything musical out there, just ask somebody if they're a Sinfonian. Wear your letters to a band rehearsal if you're in a community band or a chorus, and have some people come up to you. It's happened to me all the time. I've been a choral singer since I was 11 years old. And, you know, as an adult, I'll wear a Sinfonia something, a hat or a shirt or something that has Fa Mu Alpha on it. And people come up and say things like, oh, I used to be in that. And then we start a conversation about it. So we're going to have to do some of the heavy lifting, I think, particularly in these unusual times. But I wouldn't be afraid to do that. I would try to again be an advocate for it. Others?
Yeah, we had a comment from Brian Munoz. It might be Munoz. I think social media is a huge tool for that too. I'm starting a new job in DC, and the alumni group there has been pretty active, so that was great to find. The Sinfonian search tool is also great for that. Now, I'm not sure that everybody has access to the Sinfonian search tool, but please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong.
Clearly, I don't need to do my next slide because you all have already covered everything that we've talked about, but we'll go into a little bit greater detail about it. But you're absolutely right, Brother Munoz, that those social media is a great resource for these sorts of things.
There's one last question for you on this slide, and then I think we'll move on to the next one. From Kevin Perrone, I understand how connected the university community is to Sinfonia, but most of my careers were not involved with university communities. How do we create space for those who are not university teachers or administrators, but have had careers in other domains?
So that's an excellent point. I happen to be a university administrator, but my training is as a lawyer. And I practiced law for a couple of years before getting into higher education, but I've never been an administrator in music. I've always been something, you know, central, or I've had assignments. When I was at Michigan State, I was in the College of Education. When I was at Florida Atlantic, I was in the College of Science. When I was at Stetson, I was at the College of Business. So I was never involved in that. So that's something that is really near and dear to me, that kind of question. In terms of being welcoming, and we'll talk a little bit more, these are the hows, you've got to, the chapters are going to have to reach out. Those of us in this room, again, are the ones who are most likely to seek, if you move to a new location, for example, I suspect that by and large, everybody in this room is going to look to see if there's a chapter in the area and might even reach out to that chapter through social media or something like that to say, hey, I'm in town. Let me know when there's a ritual or something like that. So that's easy for us in this room. But chapters and alumni associations, and I know, you know, Kevin and others who are involved in alumni associations very actively probably can speak to this better than I can. But you need to use the resources that are out there. My Sinfonia is one of them. When Lyrecrest is functioning, you know, they have a lot of opportunities there. And then we'll talk a little bit more in this next slide about some of the ways to do that. It is incumbent upon the collegiate chapters to be welcoming to those men who are not, in fact, professional musicians or professional music educators or involved in music in some way. There are plenty of Sinfonians who are theoretical physicists and lawyers and math professors and everything else, and we need to be mindful of that at all times. But we also have to recognize that the chapters are going to need a little help with that. And so I think that goes back to some of that service stuff that we talked about as well, is maybe you have contacts in your own community that you know because you find out somebody's a Sinfonian. There's been numerous times. I mean, I've been a Sinfonian a freaking long time. I realize that. But there have been plenty of times when I've encountered somebody who just kind of surprisingly, randomly almost, learned they were brothers and were able to involve them in a meaningful way. So it's kind of a two-way street. I don't know if that answers the question, but it just requires us to be maybe a little more outgoing and get out of our comfort zone somewhat. Well, let me move ahead to talk about that how. How do we get alumni involved, or how, as alumni, can we become involved? So those of you who are collegiate members right now, if you don't already have good chapter records, start now.
Nobody likes you.
Build those chapter records, mute your microphone, and make sure that the reason is if you don't have them now, or if you're a really young chapter and whoever started out didn't get it going, start now, because 20, 30 years from now, when you're, you know, approaching my age, they're gonna appreciate the fact that you had organized that for them and got that rolling. So it's the best time to start that sort of thing is now. This goes to what we talked about earlier about social media. Use Google, LinkedIn, and Facebook, anything that you can use to find out whether, you know, you can look to see whether they went to school at a particular location. You can see if they had a chapter there. There's, you know, you can be very creative. In my fundraising life, which is my career, I have been very successful at finding our alumni at whatever institution I've been at, through LinkedIn, and then getting them engaged and involved with the university. So I see no reason why you couldn't do a similar thing with LinkedIn or any of the other tools that you have. Facebook is an interesting one because we have those Sinfonian page and the, you know, Sinophnian page and a number of different pages that you can just kind of scroll through and figure out who's there. And then you can look and see who your common people are and common contacts, and just be creative and think of it as a kind of a web or you know, network of things, and how, what is 6 degrees of separation and all that. So you can find people that way more easily than you think, I believe. I've talked about Lyrecrest resources. I acknowledge the challenges right now. If you have access to My Sinfonia, or if you can gain access, or you can, you know, find somebody who has access to it, that has been a valuable resource. I find it a little less valuable now than it has been in the past, but that's just me. Now, here's one that you might not have thought of. If you're a collegiate, or if you're in a particular area, or even if you're an alumnus of an institution, you might consider seeking assistance from the advancement or development or alumni office at your institution. Now, they're not going to be able to give you addresses and identifiers and things like that, obviously for privacy reasons, but they might be able to, say, forward an email. So if you're a chapter alumni secretary and you're saying, I would like to get an email out to all of our alumni who are, to let them know about our homecoming reception. You might be able to give that email to the alumni office and they can just forward it to all the members. I know at my own university, we have a code in our database for fraternity membership, and Phi Mu Alpha Sinfonia is in fact one of those fraternities that's listed. Now, like anything else, the data is only as good as what's reported. So if somebody didn't report that they were a Sinfonian, or we didn't find out, you know, 30 years ago that they were Sinfonians, then it might not be in there. But the point being, if you can give them a list, here's our list of alumni, would you please forward this? They might be able to help you with that. Again, that goes back to relationship building. So build a good relationship with your alumni office, and I think that's gonna serve you very well in terms of getting them to help you with this sort of thing down the line. Take advantage of the events at your institution. Again, this is directed to collegiate members, but if you have homecoming, you have commencements, you have musical activities going on, take advantage of the events that already exist and, more importantly, that are already drawing alumni to the campus from all over. My own chapter at William & Mary traditionally has had a reception during homecoming for Sinfonians, for alumni Sinfonians who are coming back. And it's just a nice way to gather and reminisce and catch up with guys and meet new ones and make sure you're doing something like that if you're not already. This is a one that I wish that our collegiate members would think of more. Now, I acknowledge, and I have seen it firsthand, not only from my own children who are college age, but from being a faculty advisor, is that you've got a lot going on in your chapters and in your life and in your studies and in your, you know, practicing and everything else that you're doing, or maybe your student teaching or whatever. But try to bear in mind alumni for all the things that you're doing as a chapter. If you're having a ritual and you've developed that network of alumni, tell them, hey, we're having the ritual on November 13th. Please come out. We'd love to see you. We'd love to have you raise your voice in song with us and be a member of the chorus. Founders Day, if you're doing the Founders Day ceremony or a celebration, obviously a Mills Music Mission would be an outstanding way to get alumni involved because they're out in the community. I know one chapter who discovered that the administrator at a local nursing home was a Sinfonian simply because they reached out and got that person involved, and that was all through the Mills Music Mission thing. One thing that I didn't put up there is chapter meetings. Well, you know, I mean, maybe alumni want to drop in now if you're, you know, doing something really weird or crazy or potentially controversial. You don't want to bring them then, but, you know, let them know, hey, we meet every Sunday at 7 o'clock in the rehearsal hall. We'd love to have you join us. Reach out to them and make it a welcoming environment. And I think you'll be surprised, pleasantly surprised, at the results that you get. And this goes back to what I kind of have been saying all along, be intentional about inviting alumni to events. You know, the old adage, if you build it, they will come, does not apply in this instance. Just because you have a ritual or you have a homecoming reception, it's just like Rush. You've got to publicize these things. You've got to tell people that these things are happening, and you've got to make space in your minds and in your chapter's activities for inviting alumni to things, or at least affording them the opportunity to attend and be welcoming about it. We would love to have you join us. We really would like to have you be a part of this. And always bear in mind that relationship piece, because that's what's going to attract them. That's what's going to make them interested in being a part of what you're doing. I'll pause there for questions and comments.
Oh, we have some. So this one is coming from Brother Courtright, who says, to build off what Brother Perrone has suggested starting, what are some good ways to get brothers involved who are at a great distance from the nearest chapter? And not to give away too much information, but Brother Courtright is at our 49th state of these United States.
He is. Stay warm up there, Stephen. I say that sitting here, and I should have mentioned at the outset, incidentally, that I'm not in an ideal situation for presenting tonight because I'm not at home. My family and I are on vacation on the Alabama Gulf Coast, and so I'm sitting in the bedroom of a beach house in a very makeshift setting right now, so I apologize for the rather sparse surroundings. But to answer your question, Stephen, I think that, weirdly, 2020 has given us a delightful or not delightful, but an excellent opportunity to connect with alumni. And that's doing exactly what we're doing tonight. These sorts of things, whether it's on the chapter level, whether it's on the regional level, I've seen on the Sinofnian page, I guess it is, a lot of things, Brother Haver, Brother Friday, other brothers saying, let's do these things more regularly. Let's do some things that are going to involve more people. And then it's, I think, incumbent upon each of us to notify folks we know about that. So, you know, those folks that you remember from Province 2 or whatever, you'd want to reach out to them and say, hey, we're getting these things together. Even if you're not a member of this particular page on Facebook, or if you don't want to have anything to do with it, fine. But boy, we'd love to have you be a part of this one event on Zoom tonight. Clearly, there's not really a lot I can say if you're, you know, 3,000 miles away from the nearest chapter to say, hey, you know, go to a ritual. It's super easy. But and maybe somebody else has some ideas along those lines when we get to a discussion. But I think anything you can do, you know, this warms my heart just tonight, just being with you all in a virtual setting. And I know you all feel the same way. This gives you a certain energy and a certain enthusiasm. And I know that anytime I gather with my brothers, whether it's virtually or in person, we have that bond and that we get that charge again, I think. And so seek out those opportunities. Maybe, you know, again, that's a way to get back maybe to your home chapter or something like that, or to your home province. And see what you can do. Distance is a challenge. Distance is always going to be a challenge for us. I think even more so in this fraternity, where we have so many chapters in the Southeast and so many chapters in the Midwest, and the rest of the country is not maybe as, you know, thickly populated with chapters. But I think if we make the effort, and if you collegiate brothers provide the opportunities for these sorts of interactions, I think that we'll all become stronger in that regard.
All right, got another question for you from Brother Paul. Paul, I apologize. When I see the two consonants at the beginning of your last name, I don't want to risk pronouncing it. But the ARO from Alpha Lambda chapter poses the question, what can we do to make events appealing to brothers who have families, children, etc.? The biggest thing we run into are people from ages 30 to 50 that aren't able to come because they're otherwise engaged with life. The recent grads and retirees are our top participants.
Excellent. That's actually also on my next slide. So you get, once again, you're jumping ahead, which is great. I mean, I'm glad to hear y'all are thinking about this. This is exactly how I'd want something like this to go. You've got, again, think about the relationship aspect. Think about the networking aspect that I've kind of keep hammering on here. You know, what is it? And you have to put yourself in their shoes a little bit. And admittedly, I'm coming at this from, you know, the other side of the mountain, so to speak, in terms of age. But think about how would a 35-year-old guy with a young family who maybe is a high school band director, how is he going to benefit from being involved in the chapter? Well, one way is to meet other high school band directors in the area that he might not already know, or administrators or something like that, because maybe he's thinking about his next gig. You know, where is he going to go next? So any kind of sort of professional networking opportunity. And it doesn't have to be formally like that. You talk about involving families. I've known chapters who've been very successful at having a picnic, a family picnic or something like that. So, you know, guys can bring their families. If they have young kids, you have activities for them or something like that. I've known several chapters where things of that nature have become an annual event and have been very successful. Not to put too fine a point on it, but maybe those sorts of things eventually evolve into being a fundraising opportunity for you as well. So you just have to put yourself in the mindset, and I'll get to this in the next slide, but you kind of have to get out of what do we like to do as collegiate brothers and more about what would an alumni brother like to do, and what's the best way to find that out? Ask your alumni brothers. Hey, you know, I mean, you can even do something as simple as a survey or something like that. Or if you know some in particular, call them up and say, hey, we're thinking about some ideas. What do you think your brothers who graduated in, 2008 would be interested in doing? If we, how could we attract them the best? And see what they say. and then run with that. I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel here. I think that's important to keep in mind. Every brother on here has, and all the other brothers who aren't on here have had different experiences as all the alumni brothers, I should say, have had different experiences as alumni. And we are all resources. We are all able to at least answer a question or pose a suggestion about what might work for you. So don't reinvent the wheel. Do try to be creative and come up with something new, but don't reinvent the wheel and understand that we have struggled with how do we engage alumni for certainly as long as I've been involved in the fraternity. So as long as I've been a Sinfonian, no doubt about it, dating back to my chapter days. Anything else, Dave, before we move on?
Just a couple comments about a lack of communication between alumni brothers trying to do a bi-monthly newsletter, run the alumni Facebook group. There's not usually much of a response from folks. I believe brothers look at the material that I put out, but sometimes I feel like it may fall on deaf ears a bit. Sorry, this is from Brother Munoz again. Okay. Building those relationships are definitely harder to do now in the pandemic. That kind of makes previous engagement plans moot. Brother Brian Woodell also says that he developed an alumni ritual cast list of alumni who could help chapters with cast emergencies for the province, which is great to see. And Brother Easterling says that getting one alum to invite other alumni who they're already in touch with, which is part of the networking thing that you had mentioned earlier.
Right, exactly. And to go back to what Brother Munoz's point about not getting a lot of response, a lot of alumni AROs and, what we used to call alumni secretaries back in my days would do is, they'd send out a newsletter and that'd be it. That's a very passive means of communication, particularly in the year 2020 when we have so many technological advantages available to us. So maybe you try something that's a little more interactive. Maybe you put together a Zoom session like this. One of the professional groups I'm involved in, when we were all quarantined back in the spring, fully quarantined, and I know some of you probably still are, but I've been back at work since mid-May. We had a couple of virtual happy hours. It was just good to see everybody again. We brought our pets and we talked about what we had to drink and all that stuff, and that was just a lot of fun. So doing a survey like that, putting a survey out there and saying, hey, what is it? What kind of programming can we provide to you that will keep you involved? And then going to with Brother Easterling's point about talk to a couple of alumni perhaps with whom you have a close relationship already and say, hey, enlist their help, and whether it's for suggestions or reaching out to others, like Brother Easterling said, or something like that. You're not doing this alone. You're not doing this in a vacuum. Okay. I want to assure you of that. Reach out to any of those folks, heck, reach out to me. I don't care to get as many ideas as you possibly can. And be as creative as you possibly can with that. But try some more interactive types of things in terms of outreach, and don't just throw a newsletter out there and hope it sticks. Remember, if you build it, they will come does not apply, okay? All right, moving on. So we're gonna go to what alumni engagement, what sorts of things you can do in terms of alumni engagement. So this, I think, is the overarching thing, the overarching theme to this entire concept is give alumni a reason to be involved. Again, I'm preaching to the choir here. I fully acknowledge that. But in general, alumni need a reason to be involved. These are people who are typically, you mentioned, the question earlier said we get young alumni retirees. Well, what don't they have? Either jobs or families, probably at that point, drawing a lot of their time on the one hand or the other hand. What about those of us who have families, jobs, mortgages, clubs, other clubs that aren't Phi Mu Alpha that we're in? What is it that's going to be compelling to become involved? Involvement doesn't mean they have to come to every meeting. Involvement might mean I'm coming to a dinner or a picnic once a year, okay? For some, that's the best they can do. That's okay, but that's a start. You've got to start somewhere. You've got to make that initial connection in order to build that relationship. And hopefully, they're going to have a good enough time to stay involved, and that's what you really want. build the relationships with them and for them, and them being alumni. Build relationships with alumni and for alumni. And honestly, alumni brothers, speaking to you, we can build relationships with collegiate members and for collegiate members just as easily. I love to mentor people in my profession. I've mentioned that before. I like to mentor people musically too and fraternally. And help them succeed because I had great mentors coming up both in the fraternity and in my career. You should be seeking those opportunities out. If you are a collegiate member, those relationships, we already talked about how those relationships can benefit you. You might find the person who gets you that first job. You might find that person who introduces you to your next mentor. You just don't know that. So build relationships and be open to trying those sorts of things out. Offer activities that would appeal to alumni. I touched on this already in answer to a question about, you know, having a picnic that's for families or something like that. The idea here is alumni typically are not going to attend an event that collegiate members would really love. You know, you're not going to throw a keg party and draw a lot of alumni. Maybe some, but the reality is you want to have something that these folks are not going to stay up till 1 a.m., you know, drinking beer with you. By and large, I know there are exceptions, and I've been known to do it a time or two myself, but by and large, you've got to, Dave's nodding his head, he remembers, but you've got to provide something that will be valuable to them, meaningful to them, fitting into their schedule. So you don't want to schedule a 4-hour, 5-hour, you know, extravaganza of some sort. Make it kind of bite-sized and piecemeal and something that can engage people, get them involved. And something I didn't write down that I want you to do when you do this or remember to do is whenever you have alumni attend something, capture their information. This is something we do professionally in my world. We always have a sign-in sheet. We always get at least name, phone number, email address, okay? And then you've got that information and you can reach out to them better. So never, ever forget to have, you know, a sign-in or some way to record attendance by alumni at any event you do, collegiates, because that information is going to be valuable down the line. The key factors that I want you to keep in mind are three for getting them involved: music, networking, and fun family or friends. I've kind of touched on all of these, but I think if your events are directed towards these three areas, and it can, you know, one of them can just be musical, one, they don't all have to have all of these three, but if your alumni program includes aspects that reach out to all three of these things, the networking is the fraternity part. You know, it's just the fraternity part on kind of a grown-up scale, if you will. It's what we do to be fraternal is also what we do in our professional lives to build those relationships that are going to help us. Obviously, the musical piece is there because we're a music fraternity. So include music. So many, you know, we talked earlier about brothers who are not involved in music as a career. A lot of them are starving for some sort of musical interaction. So give them a chance to come to a ritual and sing in the chorus. Give them do a Christmas sing-along if that's appropriate for your institution or your chapter. You know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head of things, but give brothers an opportunity to be musical and they're going to want to come back. Not, you know, I always look for a chorus wherever I live and to get involved with. And it's been successful for me, but I have to be very intentional about doing it. So you should be providing those opportunities for them. Put yourself in their shoes. What will draw them away from their busy lives for that 1 hour or 1 hour and a half that you want to capture them and get them involved in those things? And we've talked extensively about that already, so I don't want to belabor the point. But that's kind of where we are. Dave, questions? comments?
Yeah. First off, Brother Rudd, I wanted to speak to you personally. Thank you for putting Murray State University next to your name. It's exactly the MSU thing that I was talking about earlier. So Brother Rudd poses the question and has a follow-up comment, which I think is pretty relevant. He says, you might be talking about this later, but one of my efforts has been helping guys who are about to graduate or have recently graduated with this transition and trying to stay connected. Any suggestions for this population? He then further commented on the point you made about building relationships. I've spent a lot of time as an alumni connecting to the collegiate brothers. As I've done that, it's really helped with their opinion of alumni, which wasn't great, and it's been meaningful for me to mentor these guys. So any suggestions about those that are about to graduate or recently graduated with that transition?
Yeah, in my professional world, something that I'm really trying to work on, have worked on at other universities and I'm trying to establish at Lamar, is the concept that as soon as a student sets foot on our campus, they should realize or be thinking about the fact that someday he or she will be an alumnus or alumna of the university, and that they should be involved and they should be encouraged to give back. I mean, ultimately fundraising is what I do, but they should be involved in whatever way they can be, okay, and be thinking about those things down the line. So there's little things along the way that happen during their collegiate careers that I don't want to say prepare them to be alumni, but at least get them in the mindset that they're going to spend a far longer time as alumni than they are as students of our institution. And now the analogy holds true, I think, as well for Sinfonia. If your probationary members are understanding that Sinfonia is a lifelong journey and are understanding that, yeah, you got to figure out, you know, the answers to this exam and go through your color nights and all that, but you also keep in mind that there's alumni things. Maybe you have an alumni event that's centered around or involves in some way your probationary members, but getting them to think about what it's like will help them make that transition when they graduate. Another thing is capturing information right away. The guys move off campus and they move around a lot. And it's a little easier than it used to be with email nowadays because people have permanent emails, or emails that they keep more or less forever. But getting guys to understand that, hey, we're going to reach out to you in the same way. If you have a thriving alumni program already, those guys who are collegiates are going to have those expectations when they get out, that's the sort of thing they'll be doing. As far as that immediate transition, you know, we actually, as a fraternity, instituted the graduating brothers ceremony precisely to kind of spur on that conversation. We haven't always had that ceremony, by the way. I mean, I've been in the fraternity longer than we've had that ceremony, just for context. You know, the idea was that that's supposed to start a conversation about, now you're graduating, now you're going off in the world, good luck, we're behind you, but we want you to always stay involved with us and always bear in mind, once, always, long live, that those are lifelong sorts of things. I hope that helps. What else?
A couple comments after that. Brother Horan, the CPR of 18, said that his chapter celebrated their 50th anniversary in 2019. They had two 50-year members from the founding class, and they performed the ritual for them and presented the two with their 50-year pins at the end, which is, that's just fantastic.
That's fantastic. That is great.
Brother Rudd went on to say, I tell all of our guys that they will one day be alumni, and the way the chapter interacts with alumni is how it will interact with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, but even more so, I would even add to that and say, you know, the way we are interacting with alumni now is how the chapter is going to interact with you eventually. So therefore, you know, golden rule, right? Do unto others. Let's treat our alumni respectfully. Let's treat their time as valuable. And then when we are alumni ourselves, we will have the same expectations, and we will have instilled that tradition where our chapter values alumni, respects alumni, is respectful of their time, and keeps them engaged and involved in a meaningful way. So, you know, there's no better time to start than now. I mean, pandemic notwithstanding, there are still a lot of things that you can do along those lines. Anything else before the next slide? We're going to wrap up here in a few minutes.
Oh yeah, we're going to need to wrap up. So let's keep things going, if you would, please.
Okay. Well, we're almost done here. We talked a lot about things you can do, and I have some don'ts that these are kind of meaningful to me because of my experience, but these are things not to do when it comes to alumni. Okay. First of all, do not allow alumni to bring back bad habits, customs, or traditions like hazing. I cannot tell you how many times as a member of the Commission on Standards, and indeed as, I'm not going to tell any tales out of school, but as a collegiate member, that we had alumni come back and say, well, you're not doing the such and such thing. You're not singing the worm song anymore. You know, whatever the case may be. Well, there are reasons for that. Do not allow those alumni to infest your chapter. I was very proud. There's one chapter in particular. I don't want to name the chapter, but when I was on the Commission on Standards, we expelled them, with prejudice. I mean, it was the worst experience I ever had as a collegiate member as a member of the Commission on Standards, conducting that investigation. And we expelled them. It was a horrible, horrible thing. That chapter later deliberately decided to take on different Greek letters, pick up in the new, the new rotation or whatever, and made it very clear to those alumni from that earlier incarnation of the chapter that they were not welcome. I mean, they're not alumni. I mean, some of them were alumni, of course, they had graduated before, but they were not permitted to bring those things back. We've got to make sure that bad alumni stay away. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, but that's very, very important. And, you know, those of you who know me know my thing about risk management and hazing. I've mentioned I'm a lawyer already. It's ingrained in me. This is what I have to do. I had to mention that, right? Don't fall into the trap of thinking alumni want to do what you want to do. And I've alluded to this already. Don't think they want to come to a keg party. Don't think they want to, they might want to come to the football game, but they might not, they might want to do, I know one chapter successfully had some pregame tailgates, which is great, but make them geared towards alumni if you want alumni to come. I mean, that's kind of basic. Don't take up too much of their time. I mentioned this as well. Don't have a 5-hour event that's going to be a drag for everybody, including and especially the alumni, because they're not going to want to come back. Be respectful of their time. Do what you need to do. Let them have fun. Let them stay for as long as they like, but make it clear that, hey, if it's a picnic, for example, please come for as long as you can. We'd love to see you. If you've got someplace else to be, go for it. That's what you need to do. And don't overthink it. This is important. Be fraternal. Just remember who we are as Symphonians. Remember the values that are instilled in us by our ritual and by our training, by our probationary membership, and by all the things and programs that we've had historically, the last 18 months or so notwithstanding. Be fraternal and don't overthink it. Just know that the guys who want to, they want to come back. You're not going to capture everybody. So don't make it personal. Don't think that somebody who rejects you, don't take it personally. I get no a lot of times when I ask people to make a donation to my university. And I've learned to not take that personally. And I've learned not to overthink it. You move on to the next one. Just be fraternal. And that's going to go a long way to doing the sorts of things you want to do. And the last one I have to say is don't ask for money, at least not at first. There is nothing more of a turnoff than the very first communication you get. Universities do this all the time, and it drives me freaking insane in my profession. But the first communication you get is, hey, we need a donation. We need you to give us money for this, that, and the other thing. You've got to build that relationship first. I'm not saying that alumni can't be donors to your chapters or to your, whatever you're doing. If you have a particular project you're trying to do, you want to raise a scholarship for a faculty member who's retiring, work with your advancement office on that, by the way. But don't come out of the gate asking them for money. They're going to get enough of that from their university and from their places of worship and all the other things already. Be mindful of that. Once you've built up that relationship with them, then there might be an opportunity to talk about a donation, but don't do it right out of the gate. Okay. That's really all I had. And I'd welcome any other further questions, comments, or discussion at this point.
Really Real quick, Jeff, I know you're about to stop sharing your screen, so just go ahead and leave this up here for a second while I get your email addresses into the chat. Perfect. Okay. You feel free to go ahead and stop share. First thing I'd like to do as we're getting to this discussion is just thank you one more time, Brother Sperry, for bringing us this wonderful presentation. This has been fantastic and very, very, you said a lot of things that if we weren't actively considering them, we probably wouldn't be considering them. So thank you for making them rise to the surface, as it were. Now that you have stopped your screen sharing, I'm sure that you can see the chat at this point. Paul said something else there.
You're not doing it. Well, that's fine. You know, I'm responding to Paul's statement about we're not doing hazing. You're missing out because you're not doing hazing. But I could do an entire session just on that kind of attitude, and we don't have time to get into it. But you don't need that. I mean, that's fine. If they drop it, that's great. But ultimately, it is incumbent on you to keep them out of your chapter. Do not let them infect or poison your chapter, okay? And if they're insistent, they're not welcome. It sucks. It's something, but we've had to do it. I'll tell you a really quick story. When I was a collegiate member, we had a tradition in my chapter that was probably not great, okay? I'm gonna admit that right now. And we brought in, I was CPR at the time. This would have been 1985 probably. And we brought in a member of the National Executive Committee, whom I got to know and who continues to be a friend to this day, as well as a brother, and brought him to the event that in question, which was a pre-ritual event. And he walked out with me and said, "You know you can't do that anymore." And I'm like, "Oh, sure, absolutely. I completely understand it." And we kept doing it because I didn't stop it in time. And I later came to really be ashamed that I didn't step up and make a change right then. 10 years later, as interim executive director of the fraternity, I went back to my chapter and I looked them in the eye and I said, "I know what you're doing. I didn't stop it 10 years ago when I was here. You're going to stop it now, or I'm going to make sure you stop." I don't know. I probably was a little more colorful in my language with that. But the point I'm trying to make is I didn't stop it when I should have. It has stopped since then. You need to be the ones to make those decisions. You need to be the ones to get that out of your chapter and build and make Sinfonia an experience that is uplifting for all of its members. If there's anything else I've missed.
Well, speaking of trying to be respectful of our alumni's time, I know that you are currently on vacation with your family. I know that we're cutting 2 minutes into Brother Heath's presentation. So I will say, if you guys are interested in keeping the conversation going, please know that the events that took place this week are hopefully, fingers crossed, the first of many of these sorts of events that we have in the future. I know that there are many brothers that are talking about stepping up and hosting sessions such as these. So for now, we'll go ahead and call it. I'm going to say thank you to Brother Sperry one more time for your presentation. It was fantastic. My pleasure. With that in mind, I see that Brother Heath has joined us at this point. If it's all right with you, would it be okay if we took maybe a 2 to 3 minute break to get up and stretch legs and use the restroom, refresh beverages, whatever guys need to do. Anybody that was planning on staying for just the first session, of course, have a wonderful rest of your night. Anybody who's sticking around for the second session, we'll get started at about 5 past the hour.